everybody. Thanks for being here today. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Jeremiah Daniel McDonough. You guys can call me Jeremy. I was born and raised in Rock Springs, Wyoming. I didn't know for the longest time, but I was born 3 weeks early. Psalm 139:13 says, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." I concluded that God was done knitting me and was ready to present me to the world. I was a healthy 5-pound, 15-ounce boy. I don't remember too much of my childhood, but I do remember was having a very loving parents, and to this day I'm still blessed to have a very loving family. When I was 5 years old, my parents divorced, and that was the point when my childhood memory started. My junior and senior years in high school, I dated a girl who I thought could be the one. I truly loved this woman, but one morning I woke up and I wasn't right in my head. Something was wrong, and it was eating at me, telling me I couldn't be with her anymore. It was like my heart loved her, but my mind didn't. That day I broke up with her. It was the worst feeling to let go of a girlfriend like that, and sometimes haunts me. So confused and mixed up with my emotions, I thought something was wrong with me. I felt I had anger problems and couldn't control them. Sometimes, getting so mad with rage, I would black out. I specifically remember seeing TV commercials about depression medications. Anybody remember those commercials? They'd stick the happy face in front of their face, and they'd ask, "Do you feel no hope? Do you feel like this? Do you feel like that?" You know, I answered all of them, yes, yes, yes. Those commercials deceived me, to the point of asking my parents to go see a doctor to see if I had some sort of mental disorder. So I went to a doctor out of Salt Lake City who gave me a 4-page multiple answer test. From that, he diagnosed me with bipolar depression. At the age of 16, I started a daily regimen of antidepressants and bipolar medications. Some were Abilify, Celexa, Lexpro, and a few others. Now I'd take them until I felt they weren't working. Then I'd go and tell the doctor and he'd switch them up. And I would have weeks of terrible withdrawals, horrible feelings, and sometimes suicidal thoughts. This was very difficult to deal with. It affected my family, work, and relationships. More importantly, it greatly affected my walk with Christ, and I'll later explain how he helped fix this. As time continued, I dated other girls, and they all just seemed to fail miserably. The worst and most hurtful was when I was cheated on. That destroyed me, my self-esteem, and made me really wonder if I would ever find a wife, for I was even cut out to be a husband. I was fortunate, having two hard-working dads, to have instilled in me a hard work ethic. I was also told by them that I would have to provide for a family one day as well. They knew it wasn't a matter of if I would have a family, but when I would have one. It encouraged me to start working young. I worked part-time jobs in high school, and when I graduated early in my senior year, in 2008, I went to full-time work. I started as a diesel mechanic, making really good money, enough to give me the ability to buy my first home at the age of 20. After 4 years of knuckle-busting, back-breaking, stressful work, I felt I wasn't making enough money and decided to venture out and see what options I had. At the time in Wyoming, the oil field industry was booming. I had family in the industry, all making a lot more money than me, so I went that route. In 2012, I started in the oil field as a BOP specialist. That stands for blowout preventer. Anybody heard of the BP oil spill? I'm sure a lot of us have. That massive oil spill happened because of a BOP failure. So there's some gravity to that job. It was important, and the paychecks expressed it. Pride soon took over my life. Making so much money, I started living by the motto, work hard, play hard, and even work harder, play harder. I started buying all kinds of big boy toys, like guns. Back then, I loved guns. Loved going out shooting, burning up ammo. I was a guy that wanted one of each gun in every caliber and every color. I was also into drag racing and high-performance engines. I loved going fast. I spent careless amounts of money and time on building them up, trying to go as fast as possible. I was also a big drinker. I spent way too much on drinking and partying. This was all for my pleasure and a temporary satisfaction to an unknown emptiness. An emptiness I didn't understand or know how to satisfy, if it could even be satisfied. Proverbs 11:2 says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor." January of 2014, still working in the oil field, I was surprised with a random drug test, a drug test I failed due to smoking marijuana. Knowing I failed the test before my job did, I went in the next day and quit my job. I worked one more job in Wyoming as a mechanic at a Dodge dealership before I moved from Wyoming. In August 2014, I quit that job and in 2 days packed my stuff and moved to Pueblo. To this day, it was the most prideful, selfish, self-centered move I made towards my parents and close family. 2 days' notice, I up and left them. For what? I was fed lies and false promises of making boatloads of money in the cannabis industry. First 2 years in Pueblo, I lived off credit cards, accumulating debt upon debt. Soon became broke. I had one of my pride and joy vehicles repoed and eventually filed bankruptcy. The third year here, I became homeless for 2 months, and thanks to a friend, I had a couch to sleep on until I found a home. The whole time in Colorado, I had little to no interactions with people. I isolated myself. I felt so alone, betrayed and lied to, it was hard to trust anyone. And about a year ago is when I took a step back and I wondered what my purpose was in life. Why was there no peace? Why did it seem like everything was out to get me? I was so uncertain what God had planned for my life. The first morning in Pueblo, God blessed me with my good buddy and Christian brother, Frank. Over the 4 years of isolation from society, Frank was the only person I trusted and could talk to. He shared some pretty amazing Bible studies off YouTube, such as Kent Hovind's Creation and Dinosaurs, and another called Know Your Enemy from The Fuel Project. Through these and God's grace, Ray Comfort was introduced into my life. Ray is a Christian evangelist for Living Waters who videotapes his evangelism encounters with people. These are the videos God put in front of me. In his videos, he explains how he likes to address the conscience, the mechanism in our brain that tells us right from wrong. I understood right and wrong, but I didn't understand how he's going to address my conscience. But then he started with the questions. And as I go through these, I ask that you guys answer these questions to yourself. He asked me, "Would you consider yourself to be a good person?" I thought, "Of course. I always try to be." Then he asked, "If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell?" Oh, never being asked so directly, I wasn't sure. I would like to think I go to heaven. He asked, "Have you ever told a lie?" "Yeah, who hasn't?" He asked, "What does that make you?" I don't know. He said, "A liar." And it clicked. I was a liar. Next, he asked, "Have you ever stolen anything?" "Yeah, a few things." He replied, "What does that make you?" A thief. Next, he asked, "Have you ever committed adultery?" Proudly, I said, "Never. I've only been cheated on." Then he quotes Matthew 5:28, Jesus saying, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Have you looked with lust?" That's when my conscience started going crazy. It was like a fire alarm going off in a burning building. My conscience was telling me I was guilty. I have looked with lust. I have been unfaithful in the eyes of God. He went to the next question. "Have you ever murdered someone?" "Of course not." He summarizes Matthew 5:22, that if you hate someone, you're already a murderer at heart. "Have you hated anyone?" At this point, I'm being convicted. I have hated. My conscience was telling me I'm a murderer, I'm a sinner, and I'm on the way to hell. He continued, "By your own admission, you're lying, thieving, adultering, murderer at heart, and this is how God sees you. If you got what you deserved, you'd be headed for hell." Revelation 21:8 tells us this plain as day. "But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and sexually immoral, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. That's hell. And the overwhelming doom fell upon me. That's where I was heading. Then I heard the best news anyone could hear. God did something for us guilty sinners. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God gave his only Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins, for all our sins. That if I repent of my sins, believe and trust in Jesus, that I would be saved. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." This wasn't my own doing, but God's gift of grace that he will free us from eternal death and punishment. Then and there, August last year, I prayed to God, repenting of my sins and believing in Jesus as my Lord and Savior and trusting in him. I trusted him like I trust a parachute right before jumping out a plane. I cling to it because I know it would save me from hitting the ground. Just like how I now and forever cling to Jesus to save me from eternal death. Ephesians 2:1 says, And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead before Christ, and now he's given me life. How wonderful is our God. The way God put Ray in front of me and shared the gospel made it very clear and for the first time made sense. In all actuality, it was the first time I heard the true biblical gospel. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." God's law was used, the Ten Commandments, and it was perfect for converting my soul. God kept his promise and has turned me into a new creature. I could finally recognize my sins and see they were destroying my soul. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me." The antidepressants I had taken for more than 14 years played a key role in dulling my conscience and hiding my sin. And thanks to God, March of this year, he strengthened me to wean off them and no longer depend on them, but to depend on him. Daily being convicted of my sins and through my convictions and repentance, I finally felt true forgiveness and the love of God. Feeling lied to and indoctrinated by the world, Jesus showed me what truth really was. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I desire to know my Heavenly Father, to read and study his word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." I crave his word and want to grow in it every day. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." Knowing wholeheartedly that this is the answer book to life, he's become my foundation for which I live by and the path for which he guides me. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. First week of August this year, I cried out to God in prayer, longing to find a church and one that I could call home. God answered that prayer. On August 9th, I attended my first Sunday service at New Life Bible Church. That day, God poured out his mercy and grace on me and blessed me with a church home. Not only that, but a loving church family. This is my testimony. It's not finished. He's not finished. God's still working on me, in me, and through me. He's purifying me like gold in a refinery. Boy, oh boy, does it hurt sometimes, but I got my eyes on the prize. And that's to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you, New Life, for this opportunity and blessing to share my testimony. Thank you, friends and family, for coming. To anybody that was a guest or first-timer, thank you for your patience. And I pray that hearing my testimony may steer you towards repenting and believing in Christ today, because you never know if you'll have it tomorrow.